For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dwayne Stein. I'm new to, well, I'm new to this role. It's my second Sunday in this role here at Emmanuel. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a couple of seconds. So let me just pray for us this morning. Lord, we want you to be among us. You've already had a great opportunity, Lord, just to worship you, to come into your presence. And we invite you here for this next part of time of worshiping you and hearing from you. So, Lord, our hearts are open to hear what you have for us this day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start by telling you a little bit of my story. Some of you have known me quite a while. Some of you might not know me much at all. So I just thought I would share a little bit of my story, and hopefully someday I get to hear yours too. So I want to start by just giving us a little bit of background. So first of all, I have been attending Emmanuel Church all my life. My family and my older parents and older siblings moved from Tyrone, Pennsylvania to Dillsburg. Wow, we got a shout out for Tyrone. Wasn't expecting that, sorry. they moved to Dillsburg the year before I was born, and they found this church. And they've been attending here, and I've been attending here all my life. So Sue's family, which happens to be with us today, thanks for coming. Appreciate that. Don't judge too much of the service by today. But her family started coming when Sue was in fourth grade, so that's when Sue and I first met. And then we actually started dating as seniors in high school, and then got married a couple weeks after I graduated from college, and we just celebrated 35 years of marriage. So, thank you. Yeah, we didn't think we were going to make it either, so thanks. I appreciate that. Sue's post-high school education led her towards being a legal secretary, and my post-high school education took me to Penn State. Okay, we've got a couple shout-outs from Penn State. Not much. To study agricultural engineering. And right now you're saying, what's this guy doing up here? Right. I know. During that time in college, when I had breaks and so forth, and during the summers and even after college for a while, I worked for a company that built telephone infrastructure. So telephone poles, cables, manhole systems, all that kind of stuff we kind of take for granted. Somebody has to build that. My dad and a lot of my family was involved in that, and that's what I got involved with too. So that's what I did. In the year that our daughter Mandy was born, I actually started a little side business in computer-aided drafting. And then a few years later, in the year that our son was born, I actually quit my full-time job and went into a full-time business of designing fiber optic cable networks, which tied cities together in the eastern part of the United States. That all happened while I was living in Dillsburg, and we continued to attend here at Emmanuel Church and be involved, volunteering all along the way. Along the way, though, I felt a call. God was calling me into vocational ministry. So in 2008, I actually left the business and came on staff here at Emmanuel as a director of student ministries. That was under Terry Smith. Many of you know, he was a pastor at the time. In 2014, Terry Smith was then called to be our district superintendent for the Eastern PA District, and I went with him to the district office to be an assistant to the district superintendent under him. And then 3 years later, Terry moved to the national office of the Christian Missionary Alliance as a vice president of church ministries. I stayed doing district ministry then for a few more years. So it was last year that I sensed God moving me away from district ministry. And he led very succinctly and very clearly and brought me back here to Emmanuel into this new position. So my new role here at Emmanuel was to oversee adult ministries. And that specifically, especially focuses on discipleship and leadership development. So today, we're going to step aside from our Philippians series, and we're going to focus on this idea of discipleship. And we're going to do so by looking at a passage of Scripture that's very familiar, and we're going to glean some basic disciple-making principles directly from Jesus' life that we can apply to our own lives and mission. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. You're welcome to turn there now in your Bibles, or feel free to use a device or whatever you have to look that up. Look at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Before we actually read a text, I would like to just define a few fundamental terms. So first of all, I'd like to talk about the word disciple. This is talking about when Jesus calls his disciples, and I want to talk about a disciple. So what am I referring to when I use the word disciple today? I'm going to be referring to a follower of Christ. Okay? Sometimes we see the word disciple used just for the 12 apostles, but lots of times the scriptures use a more general term, and today we're talking about it as somebody who's a true follower of Christ. So what do I mean when I say a true follower of Christ? Well, I'm going to put this up on the screen here. This is a sentence that I came up with that I'm sure we can refine some more, but this is where I want to start with. One whose life has been and is being transformed by the gospel, who lives life for God and with God, and who engages in making disciples. Notice the emphasis in here too. It's purposeful. One whose life has been transformed by the gospel, is being transformed by the gospel, living life for God, but in relationship with God, and making disciples. So when I use the word discipleship or making disciples, what am I referring to? I'm referring to that process of taking someone from where they are now and moving them closer to becoming a true follower of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. And why is this important? Why does it matter? Let me share a goal that I have. I have a dream. that this church, Emmanuel Church, would be known for its culture of disciple making that leads towards multiplication. I want us to be known for that because I believe it's part of God's heart. That's why I want. So, we're going to go into Luke chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles open, feel free to turn into Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And let me read this very familiar account of Jesus calling his first disciples. So one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon said, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus says to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So he pulled the boats to shore, left everything, and followed him. So we're going to walk through this, and I want to highlight some principles about disciple making as modeled by Jesus. So the first one I want to talk about is what I call look out. And I don't mean like, look out. I mean like, look out. Okay? Jesus identifies and chooses Simon. He looks out across people. And he chooses, identifies and chooses Simon. This is not what we're reading here in Scripture. This is not just some random event. Jesus wasn't simply just walking along the shoreline, just happened across some boats and some fishermen there. We do see that sometimes in Scripture where Jesus looks like he's coming across strangers, so to speak, and he ministers to them. But this account is very intentional. And it's in the area where Jesus is in that area where Simon and his companions are working. As we notice as we walk through this, there's no introductions. Jesus doesn't like walk up and say, hey, I'm Jesus, who are you? We don't have that kind of introduction taking place. There's already something going on. Jesus doesn't ask permission to step aboard the boat. He just steps into the boat. So we understand, we start to feel there's this relationship between Jesus and Simon already happening. Later in the text, we see where Simon calls Jesus Master and Lord. Again, being aware that they knew who Jesus was. So what we see here is that Jesus has already had his connection with Simon. He's already looked, he's identified Simon as somebody that he wants to invest in, somebody that he would want to approach. So if we're truly, if our true desire is to follow Jesus and follow Jesus' command, what does his command us? Is to go and make disciples. We should, to do that, we should always, always be watching and praying to see where God's already at work and allowing that Spirit to direct us towards where he wants us to be. We should be on the lookout. And we should be in a lookout into looking how we step into relationship for this to happen. For discipleship, relationship is key. Even us introverts know that we grow better in relationship. So, this first step, and what does it look like for you? What does it look like for me? A first step may be a brand new connection. It may be a connection with a stranger who you hadn't met before that turns into a relationship. It turns into discipleship. But in a lot of cases, it probably somebody you already have a relationship with. Some kind of casual relationship, maybe, whatever. Something on a peripheral. But maybe somebody you're more intent with. So the question is, or the principle is, be on the lookout. Look over your area. Look who's around you. Look where God is working. Be watchful and pray. So that's our first principle. Second principle is to step out. What we see here is Jesus moves towards Simon. So Jesus is teaching by the lake. We see this as he starts out. He's teaching, you know, there by the lake, and he sees these, he comes across these boats. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's very intentional about this. And he takes an opportunity there while Simon and his companions are working on their nets to step towards Simon. Here's what's interesting. He meets Simon where he is and in what he's already doing. Jesus didn't put out like a blanket invitation to all fishermen in the region saying, hey, come see me, I want to talk to you, and then wait for people to come to him. He actually went to where Simon was, where Simon was working, and engaged him there. It's a beautiful principle of discipleship. So for us, disciple makers, right? It's who we're called to be. What's it take for us to step out and step towards someone? This could be pretty difficult in our world today. It could require a reprioritizing in our life to make space for that. We live very busy lives. That could be huge in our culture. But this is what we see Jesus doing, taking time to not only identify, but now step out from where he is into Simon's world. Love how Jesus does that. So, Jesus' next move takes us to our next principle. Our next principle is step in. So he stepped out from where we are, and now step in. Jesus invites himself into Simon's world. Jesus steps into his boat. That's a pretty bold thing to do. As I was thinking about this, I'm trying to create some kind of analogy in my mind of what this might look like. So let's say that a service ends here and you're standing out in the parking lot and I just go and I open a door and I get in your car and say, hey, take me to the restaurant and just sit there while I eat. That's kind of what he did to Simon here. That's what it feels like. He just kind of says, I'm going to sit here and then you sit there while I teach the people. But what's really going on? What's actually happening here is beautiful. So what we see is that Jesus is stepping into this boat and he's being very intentional about this. And I honestly don't even think Simon realizes what's going on. Okay, I don't think he knows what's happening here. But Jesus, in his strategic way of moving, he brings Simon into what he's doing, that whole idea of ministering to the crowd, without in a way that's very natural for Simon. So Jesus is preaching and teaching to the people, and then he steps into the boat and gets Simon involved, and now he brought Simon into his world, in a sense there, to be involved with what Jesus is already doing. That's really cool. So let's get back to my illustration of the car. So let's say after church, we're standing in a parking lot, we're talking. And I have a relationship with you, and we're like, I know you well enough. And you say, you know what? This friend of mine is really struggling. And I say, and I get in your car, and I say, take me to the restaurant. We're going to buy some food, and we're going to take it to your friend. Same kind of thing happens. I sit in your car, and I tell you to take me to the restaurant. But the intent is completely different. We're now going on mission together. That's what Jesus does. So we see this with Jesus, that him and Simon, they kind of already had this relationship going, and when he steps into this boat, he actually takes this level with Simon to a different, takes his relationship with Simon to a different level. A small ask, so to speak, to gauge where Simon really is. So he says to step into this boat, and Jesus steps into the boat and asks him just to pray a little from shore. And when he does so, I love how this all works out. Simon is now part of Jesus' world here. And this intentional stepping out. And in a small ask, Jesus watches Simon actually do what he asks him to do. And Jesus uses that as a gauge to say, okay, Simon's coming along. That's a neat idea. He models that. Jesus models this stepping along with people, stepping into their world with intentionality and purpose, and then bringing them along. So, he looked out, identified Simon, stepped out towards Simon, and now he steps in to Simon's world. What happens next? What Jesus does next is very interesting, and what I call it is walk together. Jesus goes back to doing what he was already doing. So according to verse 1, Jesus was already sharing the word of God with people. And then he pauses to have this encounter with Simon in the boat. And once he gets that lined up, then he goes right back to doing what he was doing. He goes back to teaching Simon. So this is how I picture this. It may not be completely accurate. I'm not sure. So there's a boat there, and Jesus steps into it. He said to Simon, hey, put out a little bit from shore. So I'm picturing that Simon takes the boat out a little bit. He turns the boat so that Jesus is standing on the front of the boat so that Jesus can talk to the people. And where's Simon? I picture Simon being back here in the back of the boat, sitting here, just kind of keeping the boat steady while Jesus is teaching. Jesus didn't step into his boat and then turn and talk to Simon. He still did what he was normally doing. But Simon's back here observing this. Simon's watching, observing, listening. Jesus kind of has his own little captive audience here in this boat. What happens is that Jesus overlaps his world, his mission, with this other mission. And we could argue as to which one's the most important mission here. But Jesus has this mission of teaching people, but he also has this mission of bringing Simon alongside, and he overlaps the two. So he takes what he's been normally doing that day, pauses, gets Simon, engages him in it, and now continues what he was doing, but now Simon's part of it. That is a cool principle for discipleship. I love that. He models this overlapping. So where could we find that in our own lives? I mean, where could we find where our normal activities, we might be able to incorporate somebody else into our normal activities and have this opportunity for overlap that would actually be allowing us to do discipleship. You know, we have a phrase that goes around, I'm sure you've all heard it. It says, never do ministry alone. It's kind of the same principle. Pull somebody alongside. We could rephrase that to say, never do life alone. I mean, I think God wired us to be in community. So if you like to run, find somebody to run with. Overlap ministry then. If you like to read, find a group to read with. Overlap ministry. If you like to do demolition, come tomorrow night. Okay? There's going to be people here. We can overlap. That's going to be awesome. If you like to skydive, well, good luck finding somebody to do that with you. I don't know. No, I'm sure there's somebody who likes doing that. It's not me. But there's somebody who likes doing that. Overlap. Overlap your mission. So what happens during these times? What happens during the overlap? Well, what happens is that people are watching. People are listening. Just like Simon in the back of the boat who's watching and listening to Jesus, this happens as we lead people in discipleship. People start watching and listening. That's pretty scary. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to become perfect. No. Absolutely not. Never going to happen. We're never going to be perfect. If we wait to be perfect to start this, it's never going to happen. But the opposite is also not what we should be doing either. And that means if we say, I'm fine the way I am, I don't need to change. I don't need to listen to the Holy Spirit. I don't need to hear his prompting. I don't need to repent. I don't need to have that kind of change in my life. That's not right either. We're called as disciples to be always on a course of sanctification. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what's required. Just be on a course of sanctification. Allowing the Spirit to speak to you and making changes in your life. Surrendering, repenting, whatever that might be. This goes back to the definition I said earlier when I said about being transformed by the gospel. The gospel is a beautiful message, and the gospel is beautiful for bringing us to salvation and that point of having that relationship with Christ. But the gospel is also bigger than that. It's transformation in our life. It brings transformation. It brings sanctification. As part of this being a follower of Christ is to step into that. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 is one of my favorite verses in Scripture because it's so real to me. So Acts chapter 14, chapter 4, verse 13 is where Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin and are being tried and have to justify what they were doing as they're sharing the word of Jesus. And what does it say about them in Acts chapter 13, chapter 4, verse 13? It says, Peter and John are ordinary men. I love that. I can relate to that. I can relate to ordinary. And one translation says they were ordinary, unschooled men. I can still relate to that. That's pretty cool. That's who we are. Ordinary. Sorry if I insulted you. I didn't mean to insult you today. I'm putting myself in there. I'm an ordinary person. That's just who I am. That's who Peter and John were. But read the rest of the sentence. The rest of the verse says that they were ordinary men who have been with Jesus. That's the difference. That's what we are shooting for. Their countenance changes. Everything changes because they have been with Jesus. That's a challenge for you. Overlap in our ministries. But for you, continue to be with Jesus while you're being with others, while you're doing life together. All right, that takes us to our next step, what I call the step of faith. This is where Jesus challenges Simon. I mean, the big challenge this time. It says in verse 4, when they had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Wow. That's a pretty bold thing for Jesus to ask. It's also the most difficult step in discipleship. It's a necessary step. It's a most difficult step. This is where, this right here, is where most evangelistic and discipleship efforts fail. They fail due to lack of the willingness to take a step of faith. You know what our tendency is when we start this, you know, we're starting this discipleship process, we're starting to build a relationship with somebody, we start making excuses. We start saying, I kind of like this relationship just the way it is. I like this friendship we built. This is good. We do things together. We run together. We skydive together, whatever. I like this. We say, oh, I don't know if I can bring up Jesus. I don't know if the relationship can handle the weight of that. And we don't have the faith, lots of times, to take that step that's required, to step into the spiritual realm there. And that step that may lead to salvation may lead to true discipleship. So, going back into our text for today, Jesus gives this challenge to Simon. And it goes against all human understanding. And what he's doing is he's taking Simon from the natural into the spiritual. So from a natural perspective, from a human perspective, what do we see happening here? We see in this situation that it's not a good time to fish. As a fisherman, they know that. They've been out all night, which is a good time to fish. They've stopped, already stopped. So it's not a good time to fish. It says that they have fished hard. They fished hard all night. And what do they have to show for it? Nothing. Not even one fish. Any of you who like to fish, if you're fishing for a spot and you keep casting and casting and casting, and you get nothing, what do? You go somewhere else. They fished all night. Didn't catch anything. They just cleaned their nets. That's a pretty intensive job. Cleaning your nets and getting ready for the next time of fishing. They just did that. And then, to make it all worse, their instructions come from a carpenter, not a fisherman, to go out and fish. I mean, that's got pretty big ask. It's quite a challenge. But Simon, we see, is up for the challenge. Now, Scripture's really cool. I love how Scripture is so real. He wasn't eager for the challenge. Notice, his first thing he does is he says, "But we fished hard all night." He wasn't eager. But as he processes the challenge, he actually steps into it and says, "But because you say it, we will let down a net." That's cool. And what is the result of Simon's obedience here? Simon actually gets that true encounter with the Son of God. Verse 8 says, "And Simon saw this," meaning the catch of fish. He saw that big catch of fish. "He falls at Jesus' knees and says, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.'" Simon steps from the natural to the supernatural. He steps from the human to the spiritual, to the divine. We had an opportunity for that this morning. I'm sitting here, we're just singing this morning. We're talking about having our eyes transfixed on Jesus' face. And for a moment, you get to step into that spiritual time. Away from the human, away from the natural. Nothing else matters. Notice that Peter didn't say, "Oh Lord, thank you for the fish." He doesn't even mention the fish. He says, "Oh Lord, I am a sinful man." When we encounter the spiritual, when we encounter the Son of God, the true living God, worldly stuff doesn't matter. This is the biggest catch of his life. So big that it's sinking the boats. And what does he do? He bows at Jesus' feet and says, "I'm a sinful man." That is a beautiful encounter. That's what we long to see. It was so big, so unique, so awesome that all the others even around saw it. They all caught it. They saw what was going on. This is what we hope for. This is what we long for. When we're speaking to somebody about Christ, we're in the midst of evangelism, we're in the midst of discipleship, leading them deeper and deeper. It's not about process. It's not about programs. It's not about doing the right things. Those kind of things will follow. It's about leading into that kind of a spiritual encounter, where they engage with Jesus. We fall away. Jesus is big. That's what we want. That's what we long for. That's what we're called to do. Well, this leads us to our last principle, what I call continue on. And this is where Jesus actually invites Simon into his world. Earlier, Jesus invited himself into Simon's world. But now, Jesus is inviting Simon into his world. When we read the Matthew account of this, what we see is Jesus invites Simon and the others. He says, "Come and follow me." And Simon and his companions, they go from the known to the unknown. Their lives are changed forever. Verse 11 says, and they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Lives are changed forever by this one encounter with Jesus. What's striking about this is that Jesus also, in verse 10, says, and now you will fish for men, or now you will catch men. Or another translation says, and I will make you fishers of men. It's a pretty amazing statement. Because what we see here is that Jesus, his intention in all this, his intention in discipleship, is not just to see Simon's life changed and then say, oh, that was good, and walk away. That's not Jesus' intention. That's not his heart. If it was his heart, what we would have seen him do is say, okay, I had this situation, I step in a boat, Simon sees us, you know, gives a great encounter, I ask him to follow me, okay, that's done. Now we'll go over here and we'll do it all again. But that's not what he does. He calls Simon and Andrew and James and John and says, follow me and you will fish for men. God's vision for this is so much bigger than just adding a person here, adding a person there. That's good, but it's so much bigger than that. God's vision is on multiplication, on making disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples to where the world is reached with these encounters with Jesus. That's in God's heart. It's a multi-generational, it's a major approach. It's not, it's pouring into others so they can pour into others, they can pour into others. This is part of God's heart. Let me give you an example in scripture. It happens in a number, there's a number of them. Let me give you a couple. Psalm 78. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 for you. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of our Lord, his power and his wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. See how it gets passed down? One person hears it, they tell their children who tell their children. It's a multiplying event. 2 Timothy 2:2 says this, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. What I taught you, you teach others so they can teach others. And it continues on down. That's God's heart, a heart of multiplication. So, continuing on, as we continue on in this process, we need to keep this mindset. This is not on your screen, but this is something, it's a very simple thing to remember. But this concept of through and not to. That's what Jesus calls us to go through and not to. So an example of what I'm trying to say here and try to get a hold of God's heart and mission for this is that, let's say you're planning a road trip and you have a couple destinations in mind. So what you do is you sit down and you'll say, okay, first destination is this far away. I know how many gallons per gas or per mile my car gets. So I have this many miles. So I put this many gallons of gas in my car and I will get to that spot. And then when I get there, I'll recalculate and say, okay, now going to the next spot, well, that will be this many miles, this many gallons per mile, put that many gallons. We don't do that. I mean, that doesn't allow for any, that's a two mentality. Just, we're going to stop there. We're just going to get two. That's it. God has a through mentality. So let me use a football example because I like football. So for those of you who aren't football fans, so you've probably seen enough football to at least understand what I'm talking about. Line of scrimmage, both teams aiming at each other, okay, getting ready for the snap. Quarterback behind them, fullback behind them, him. Ball comes back, quarterback, hand it to the fullback. Fullback says, my goal is to run to that line. And he runs up to that line and he stops. Doesn't get anywhere. That's not what the goal is. This guy back here, his goal better be to get through that line. Because his goal is the end zone down there. And the only way to get there is through those people. He has a through mindset. That's what God wants from us. As we look at discipleship, it's not just a two. It's just not like, hey, they said that prayer, we're good. It's a through mindset. It's we're taking those people. It's we're maybe we're leading them to salvation. Maybe we're taking them in through discipleship. And you're leading them to not just to become followers of Christ themselves, but to be followers of Christ who make disciples, who make disciples. That is pretty cool. A through mentality. That's what it should look like when we talk about making disciples. So what do we talk about today? We talked about being on a lookout. Where does God have us? Where does God want us to serve? Talked about stepping out from our comfort, stepping out from our normal routine, stepping out from busyness or those things that hold us back, stepping out from attitudes that might hold us back. We talked about stepping in to someone else's boat. We talked about walking together, mission over top of mission, overlap in our lives. Doing life together. We talked about taking steps of faith. Steps of faith that lead to true God encounters. We talked about continuing on with a mindset of through, not to. I started today by giving you a really high-level view of my story. There have been many people who have stepped into my boat over the years. Parents, family, nursery workers, teachers, youth leaders, pastors, elders, friends, colleagues, mentors. Thank you, Chet. He was my mentor through my MSP program. He put up with me for a lot of years. Thank you, Chet. And many others, whom I am so deeply grateful for. And I've had opportunity to step into some boats of a number of people. So the question at the end of this message, the questions for you and for me. I'm going to focus on this idea of stepping out and stepping in. So what's God telling you? What's God telling you about your willingness to step out or your ability to step out? What is he telling you that needs to change or needs to be reprioritized or needs to be modified in some way or needs to be repented, whatever it might be? What is hindering you from stepping out? And the next main question, whose boat should you be stepping into? Whose boat is the Holy Spirit directing you to step into? Maybe this is for you personally. personally, you have a, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit works, and the Holy Spirit is probably already bringing a name to your mind of whose boat you should be stepping into. Maybe it's as a couple or as a family. Maybe it's even like a small group, and you have, God's calling you to step into a new people group. That'd be cool. So what I'm going to do, we're going to take some time to pray here at the end. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to, while we're in this posture of prayer, I'm going to give you some instructions. So will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, move among us right now. Holy Spirit, bring to our minds those things that might be hindrances to us from stepping out. Also bring to mind those people, those areas of service that we need to step into. Bring that to mind, I pray right now. I want to remain in a posture of prayer. But while we do so, just listen. It seems really crazy to have a message on stepping out and stepping in and then not actually do anything with that. So what I want to do right now, as the Holy Spirit is speaking, the Holy Spirit is moving, here's my ask of you. If the Holy Spirit is laying something on your heart, something that that's a hindrance to you stepping out, and you need to deal with that. Or if the Holy Spirit is laying a person on your mind that you whose boat you need to step into, here's what I want you to do. While we're still in this posture of prayer, I just want you to stand up. Right now, where you are, I want you to stand up if the Holy Spirit is saying that to you in any way. It's a small ask. As we continue in a mindset of prayer, Father, for those who have stood up, I pray, Lord, that you would lead their next step. Whatever that step looks like for them, you know and they know. Lord, empower them to do it. Give them what beyond what their own, what they're capable of in and of themselves. Give them supernatural power and insight to step into the next step for you. May this time right here seal a commitment in their mind to take this next step. And Father, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I commission these people who are standing to go forth in what you have called them to do, in the step that you have placed in front of them. I would like everybody to stand this time. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your example, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that as we leave this building today, that your word will resonate in our hearts this week. Lord, that your commands, that your model would resonate in us. Lord, I pray that we would over and over again have spiritual encounters. Step into the spiritual, Lord, and not have such a crazy focus on the human. Lord, do that in our lives this week, I pray. Lord, may this family go out as your ambassadors this week for your name's sake. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for coming today. You're dismissed.